Hello, you're listening to Sarah Jackman, presenting this week's episode of Bricks and Mortar. Today, I'm joined in the studio by Charles Jones. He's previously worked with Persimmon and First Base, and we're going to have a little look at his career to date. Charles, many thanks indeed for joining me today. Tell me first, what initially sparked your interest in real estate?
Well, it's a pleasure to be here, Sarah. Thank you for inviting me in. Well, it's a kind of a bit of a long story, but I think to probably sum it up, I'm from Bath, and I've always been quite interested in architecture, mm-hmm. basically, and you know, growing up in a very beautiful place and beautiful city, you kind of get a great appreciation for the physical environment, I suppose. So I originally thought I wanted to be an architect, actually, but apparently you had to be very good at drawing, so I realised I couldn't do that. My grandfather was also in real estate as well. He actually, along with his father, basically built a lot of the homes for the miners in South Wales. And yeah, I remember him growing up, and he would always look at some things that he built and was always kind of going, oh, you know, I built that, or I was involved with that in some way. So I thought, well, you know, that looks quite cool. It's something quite interesting to get involved with, something to be involved in from truly inception to delivery, true project management expertise. And I think that's what really intrigued me about it, above anything else. So I still didn't really know exactly what I wanted to get into. So I deliberately decided to go to Oxford Brookes and decide to sort of do a taster course, like a foundation degree, deliberately almost, because I still didn't really know what I wanted to do. But then after that year, I realized I wanted to get a broad knowledge of the whole industry, from, you know, planning, surveying, everything. So I deliberately decided to do a new degree that they just introduced. It was called Planning and Development. Mm-hmm. It was both RICS and RTPI accredited.
Okay.
And as a result of that, I did that for 3 years, and then I continued in my studies later on, doing a master's at UCL, mm-hmm. in international real estate and planning, again RICS and RTPI accredited,
yeah.
To gain that broad knowledge and experience. That's probably what got me into it, I would say. It was the promise of doing something that could truly enhance placemaking, mm-hmm. But also offer the opportunity to really grow in a number of different facets that you don't get in many other industries. If you're a lawyer, you just focus on one thing. You know, my father's a lawyer. Not knocking lawyers, but you know, but if you're in real estate, you can truly get into law, but you can also get into architecture, you can get into design, you can get into finding land, and you know, it's so many different facets. And I'm all about gaining knowledge, and I would encourage anyone really to do the same, really. So maybe it's a waffly answer, but I think that's probably the
that's the crux of it. Okay, so you've talked about what sparked your interest and how your academic career then built up. How did you take your first steps into the profession?
Again, I think I went into sort of a different sort of route compared to a lot of people. After I did my undergraduate degree, I basically did a lot of internships here and there, you know, working for everybody I could find, basically. So surveyors, small developers, even worked for Bristol City Council for a little bit. And that was all great, but I knew I really wanted to, if I really could try, to get on a graduate scheme or something. Like, because when you're at university, you're kind of pushed you must get on a graduate scheme, you must get on a graduate scheme. So I thought, okay, that's the way to do it. But I couldn't get on a graduate scheme. Basically, after UCL, I eventually got a job with Stratton Parker on their graduate scheme, but not actually on the formal rotation, as it were. You know, I was sort of stuck in London, which I enjoyed and I loved. I was actually in the main development team as a graduate planner. So that's kind of how I got my first little baby step into the industry, I suppose. But it took a lot of time, and it took only me realizing that I probably should gain more knowledge in the industry before I even go into it. So I was actually offered a formal job, I think, by Bristol City Council, but I turned it down because UCL basically were offering potentially for me to do a master's. So I thought, when I'm young, I'm never going to get the opportunity to do a master's again, really. So I thought, do the master's and then we'll reassess the situation. So I did that, and then I applied to all the graduate schemes, got on Stratton Parker, working with people who I'd admired in the industry for some time, and I thought, wow, I'm very, very lucky. You know, I'm actually in the team of people who, you know, were a number of people who I'd seen at Oxford Brookes and people who I'd seen in the industry I've known of for a long, long time. So so I was quite lucky in that respect, yeah.
Okay. Something I'm quite interested in is the way that you have brought both property and planning into your career. Do you want to talk about how you've developed those two disciplines in tandem?
Yes, I would probably say that I'm probably a planner first, if that makes sense. So I do enjoy the creativity that planning brings. I think that I really enjoy that, to be able to see a piece of land or a piece of real estate and be able to assess what value can we extract from this. I think surveying and property is incredibly important, incredibly valuable, but I've met so many people in this industry, for example, who just say, oh, I just do residential, I just do commercial, I just do retail. And I knew we're entering a world of mixed-use development, we're entering a world of true JV partnership where we're actually creating entire towns. You've got to be a bit of a jack of all trades in some ways, I think, in the new work, and flexi work, etc. I like to think I realised that by getting experience in property, I was able not only to assess what value could be extracted from a piece of land or a piece of real estate, but be able to see what the long-term benefits were as a result of that, what the property management would require, what would be the residual valuation of it, what financing could we potentially get from it, what the different options that we could get involved with. So it really does give you a broad, rounded experience and a broad knowledge of how to assess a site, I suppose, how to extract value from it. And often I think planners and surveyors delegate that to other people, but if you have the ability to at least make an initial observation, I think, of the viability and the feasibility of a site to go alongside planning, I think that can be incredibly valuable. And I like to think I kind of realized that from quite a young age, that particularly when I was at Stratton Parker, when you had the planning team and the development team separate, and they would commingle together and work together on things, which is great. But I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great if everybody had a knowledge of what everybody else does, and not just say, I don't do that. You know, that's not my cup of tea. You know, you give it to the other guy. But I realized it was more efficient, I suppose, to have that knowledge base. I think that's probably okay. Why I got involved with it.
So you expect to become dual qualified by both the RICS and RTPI in May of 2020, so not long at all now.
Slightly mad, I know.
And how has studying for the two in tandem been? Has that put additional pressure on you?
Again, it is a challenge. I think there are a couple of people who said, when I was at John Park, I remember the actual people who told me, oh, you can't do both or something. And I strongly contested this because I've known people who have both qualifications. But I've always thought, well, can't you just get both at the same time? Can't you do both together? Now, what I would say is it has been a challenge, and yes, I have had to invest in myself to talk to the RTPI about how I can accomplish this. Obviously, it's a lot easier doing an RICS pathway that's planning and development, so obviously you can commingle that into your planning activities. I would strongly argue that's probably the best way of doing it, I would say. If you do, I don't know, the investment pathway and planning, you might struggle a little bit more. But personally, I haven't seen a great deal of massive change. You know, it hasn't interrupted necessarily most of my work. They're so similar in many ways. I mean, even the APC pathways for both are quite similar in that respect. I mean, the only real difference, as far as I can see, really, is the fact that RICS require you to do an interview at the end and RTPI don't. And they still both require case study. They still both require very similar competencies to be achieved. I see no reason, really, why you have to choose. And I saw it at the time. I don't really understand why I have to choose between them. Why can't you just do both at the same time? Surely that would add more value to you as a professional, as an individual, and obviously to the firm, whoever you're working for, of course. And from a day-to-day standpoint, it hasn't been that disruptive, and nor, I would say, even in studying. Provided you're in a profession and doing planning, for example, and you go down the planning pathway, as I say, it does make life easier to do. So that's probably any advice I would give if you are intending to do the same thing.
Okay. And how has that sort of dual pathway been received by the professionals and colleagues that you work with and come into contact with? Has it brought particular advantages?
Yes, in short answer. I think during my time when I was at Persimmon, when I jumped over client side, yes, it did have a number of advantages, because when I was there, I was actually a development planner and I was also a land buyer. It was fantastic in many ways because it allowed me to do both and to be able to find pieces of land. Was it protected, you know, and was the planning potential of a site? With reserved matters applications most often. But then with the surveying side, Persimmon, as I'm sure many people know, are all about de-risking a situation. They want to take zero risk on the land. And if you're a planner, even though they're a plan-led business, you can still, as long as you have that surveying background, you're able then to understand, okay, well, I can see what the planning extraction of value is here, but how do we de-risk any of the land risk here? And otherwise, you'd just leave it to your head of land, who's the only person who would be able to assess that. But I think because I had that background, I was able to understand what are the true opportunities? So yes, we can achieve this in planning, but from a viability standpoint, maybe this isn't the best way to go down. So yes, from a client side standpoint, it is a great advantage to have that kind of knowledge base, and to be able to go to your teammates and delegate with a technical team to really jumpstart things. And that also works the other way around as well. So if I'm doing evaluation, for example, because of my planning background, I'm able to ascertain what is the likelihood of me getting this past the local authority. What is the likelihood of this going to committee? How likely are we to be able to achieve this in, you know, long term? And I like to think I'm able to provide that. And I think there's no reason why you have to choose, I suppose.
Okay. And going forward then, just thinking about how you hope to see your career progressing, I mean, in what way do you hope to be able to deploy the dual skills and qualifications in the future?
I think perhaps, I'd like to think maybe one day, maybe I'm a planning and development manager or director of someone, maybe one day. I think that would be, again, quite a useful position to have, really, from the qualifications that I would have attained. But I think over the long term, I like to think that I would be able to assess a business plan and be able to put something into place. I'd like to be able to kind of follow in the footsteps of perhaps my family and my grandfather and my great-grandfather, and perhaps go it alone maybe one day. And I think perhaps at the back of my mind, maybe that's sort of the subconscious going in, you know, you've got to learn as much as you can, Charlie, because, you know, if you want to go it alone, I suppose. So I think that's probably how I'd like to deploy my skills in the future, to be able to aid, extract value, and to be able to deliver sites as efficiently as possible.
What advice then would you have for someone who's perhaps slightly unsure of which pathway to go down, doesn't want to get perhaps pigeonholed at a too early age? What advice would you say to somebody who perhaps does have an interest in two quite different qualifications? How should they look at proceeding?
Well, I think it's quite easy, at least in my experience anyway, to get pigeonholed. I think that when you go to university, you're heavily prompted, I would say, into going into a graduate scheme. It's almost as though the world would end if you don't get into CBRE or Savills graduate scheme. I would say that that's not the case, and I would encourage anyone to get into it not to be disheartened if you don't get on a graduate scheme. There are ways around it. If you go down the route of working for, a consultancy or whoever in a region, they will give you genuine responsibility. And I would say, over the long term, you're generally considered more valuable to any company because you've gained all this incredibly valuable experience, more so than those who necessarily on the graduate scheme. So you could get your RSCS, you can get your RTPI, as well as all this responsibility and all this knowledge that you might not otherwise have had. So there are ways into it. As far as being unsure of your qualification, I would say don't be disheartened by people who will tell you you have to do one or the other. If you genuinely know what you want to do, you have a rough idea, at least, of what you enjoy in the area of expertise that you'd like to get involved in, I strongly encourage you to speak up and say what you want to get involved in, because fundamentally people who have more experience than you know how you can get involved in those things. I mean, I know people who have literally gone into doing loan security evaluations or something as their first job and hated it and then go migrate to planning, for example. Don't be disheartened if perhaps first time round it may not work out and you want to do something else, you may change your mind, because otherwise you can be stuck there for maybe a year or two and you might hate it. So I don't want anyone really in this industry to feel that way. And I think, I mean, particularly in real estate, we don't have much prominence in the public square as far as schools are concerned. Not many kids know they can get into this profession or how to get into this profession. You're often told the cliche of, you know, the middle classes, you know, they want to get into become a doctor or you want to become a lawyer. Very few say they want to become a surveyor or a planner or a development manager. And I'd like more and more people to know that they can get into this industry, and this is how you go about doing it. And we want as many people coming into this industry who have a good experience. I would say don't be afraid to speak up and say what you like and what you're interested in, because usually most companies are quite accommodating of that.
Charles Jones, that's a really positive note to end on. Thank you very much indeed for your time today.
Pleasure. Thanks ever so much.
That was Bricks and Mortar from EG with me, Sarah Jackman. For more information on developing a career in real estate, see the archive of the Bricks and Mortar series at podbean.com and related information at egi.co.uk.